Hi, friends. Welcome to the Bitcoin Blonde podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Stuckert. Here, we'll talk all things Bitcoin to help and empower you on your learning journey. When I first got into Bitcoin, it was information overload. I had no idea where to begin and felt extremely overwhelmed. I hope our conversations shed light on why Bitcoin is going to change the world.
Hello, Mr. David Jeffries with the Pit Vipers. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. All I can see are your shiny Pit Vipers and trillionaire energy. I am here for this look. So tell me, where'd you get the trillionaire energy? Not sure. I need to get one.
So Pomp with his best business show. This is some of his merch. I kind of got on like a, I fell down the rabbit hole of the best business show.
Nice.
And so I bought like shirts, sweatshirts. I got like three of these. But this is love just it. On his website. I can send you the website when we finish this.
Sweet. Okay.
It. So soft.
And those Pit Vipers, dude, you are killing it right now. Okay, let's get started on a little bit about you so the world can see who David Jeffries is. You are 16 years old, right? Wow. You're 16. You are a student and you're also a YouTuber.
Yes.
Right?
I don't know if I'd call a YouTuber, but
that is what I call you. So to me, you are a YouTuber, which I think is so cool because I didn't know this about you initially. And then I looked you up and I was like, oh, he's a YouTuber. So cool. And he has like a great message for the world. And I'm so stoked to see more videos come from you.
Yes, it's actually not my only channel. That's the other thing.
What? You have another channel?
I do. I have a tech review channel.
Oh.
That I started in like eighth grade, and I haven't put a video on there in like 2 years, but we're kind of working on one now.
Okay, that's really cool. You need to send me, actually, I'll put all of your links down in the description for this.
Perfect.
For this episode. Cool. So let's get into the Bitcoin stuff. I obviously know you through Bitcoin. I've seen you, you know, through this team, right? You're super close to the Going Parabolic guys, and I've heard amazing things about you. And also I've seen a lot of your tweets and you're super pro Bitcoin. You're an advocate for Bitcoin changing the world. And I think it's really incredible that you are so young and you have this understanding of what Bitcoin can do. Can you share a little bit, how did you get into Bitcoin? How did that whole journey look?
Yeah, so back when I was about 14, so about 2-3 years ago, I got into stocks and I got into investing because I saw big houses at the beach and I asked my dad how those people afforded them. And he said, yeah, a lot of them business owners, a lot of them invest. And I said, well, what's that? So I got into stocks for about a year, kind of fell hard into that. I got in at a good time on certain stocks that worked out well.
Wow.
And then I got connected with Going Parabolic and he started to teach me the ways of Diamond Hand.
Jason Williams.
Having Bitcoin. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so I got those Diamond Hands forged.
Whoa.
And then.
That is amazing.
I've just fallen down ever since. It's the future.
What would you say was like where the light bulb, like where the light switch went off for you with Bitcoin? I mean, you're young, you're new to money and how the whole system works, right? And then you just discover Bitcoin. And so what was that like aha moment that you had?
I think it was hearing about how the dollars, historically, it's been inflating. And especially over the past year, it's inflated. But I got into Bitcoin right around the time COVID began, or the whole COVID, the lockdown started.
Yeah.
And so just hearing, especially from Jason, how this could affect inflation and how Bitcoin's deflationary, how that's one of its main attributes that makes it like so impactful that it's not going to inflate and it's made to not inflate, and how everyone needs that. And mainly companies need that. The average person needs it, but if companies need it too, and I can get a piece of it, it's probably going to benefit me well.
Whoa, that is like so cool. And I'm assuming Jason introduced you to Twitter, right?
That's another thing. Yes and no to Bitcoin Twitter, sure.
You're very active on Twitter. And it's not every day that I see a other young individuals who are number one on Twitter, but number two, understand how it works and also contribute to the conversation, especially the Bitcoin conversation, which
kind of like the algorithm of how to attract people's attention on Twitter.
Well, you've seemed to master that, right? You kind of know how that works.
I think it just goes to show when you have about 5 times the amount of Twitter followers and you do Instagram followers at the age of 16. So it just shows what I'm on more. I've been studying Twitter. But sure. When you go through Twitter a lot, I've seen what causes spikes in people's likes, whether it be Pomp, Jason Williams, John Kim, all those guys. I've seen what kind of spikes it, and it's worked out well. Sometimes I just get lucky and get 10,000 likes on certain stuff, but other times it's just...
I don't get 10,000 likes. I'm telling you, you're doing something right, dude. It might be the pit vipers, it might be the hair, I don't know, but... You got it going on.
It's that trillionaire energy.
It's seriously, that is a way of life, I promise you. And that will be like the foundation of your future right there. Like just having that mindset and where you're at. I just think it's so incredible. I'm super inspired by you because trust me, if I could go back to being 16 years old again, not that Bitcoin existed at that time, but still, if I could go back to when Bitcoin started and be in that mindset and just understand like what's going on with our money, paying attention to global issues, which I never did or cared about, I think that's really incredible. And I also think that it is so cool that you have the ability to inspire the younger generation. Like, I really hope that other people will share this episode with their kids, you know, teenagers. It's incredible.
I try to tell everyone about Bitcoin.
Do you? Like you're out anywhere at the like I am. You're kind of like me. Like I cannot not be out and not talk about it. Whether I'm at the coffee shop because I work out of a coffee shop every day, it's like everyone knows me as the Bitcoin girl. Like it's just kind of how it is, you know?
Same way.
Same way for you?
Gym, school, coffee shops.
Oh yeah, I saw your tweet yesterday. You said something like you started talking to some dude at the gym about inflation, right?
Yeah, I went to the sauna after lifting weights, and this guy was in there, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't know how we got on inflation, but we got on it." And I was like, "Yeah, Bitcoin's going to change the way people see inflation because
the
currency's going to get to a point."
To the floor.
Yeah, you said that? He was like, "How did you learn all this?" Because I'm like 28 and I still don't get this. And I was like, "Just watch YouTube,
dude." That's epic. But also, like, you have some incredible teachers in your life, right? You've got John Kim. Like, you're FaceTiming these dudes. I don't get to FaceTime these teachers. Should I try to do some FaceTiming so I can learn more? Because I love learning.
Yeah.
Do you think that they would mind if I hit them up for some, you know, Bitcoin?
The thing I'd say with a lot of those successful people, just start off texting them. Because a lot of them, most of them, what I've found is they're very successful, but they're also very busy. Yes. And so they can easily respond to a text.
Oh.
And so once you get doing that after a little while, like take Eric Norris, for example.
He's a funny dude.
He's hilarious. And we actually live like 15 minutes away from each other.
What?
So might...
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I'm like sandwiched between him and Going Parabolic, and I live in the same city. So we're like, we got a triangle of Bitcoiners.
Dude, you
got
to take advantage of that. Like, you know, I don't care if these guys are busy or not. Like, hey, bro, can you meet me for coffee? I'd really appreciate it if, like, let me buy you coffee. Let me pick your brain. That's how you get things done. So stay on that. Okay.
I will. But it's not just with Bitcoiners either. Oh. Like for about the past 2 or 3 years, I've found people that have been like successful in their fields, whether it be medical fields, starting and selling businesses, and really any field. I've met with about 7 people just to find like, hey, what are you doing in your field? What have you learned from this? What have you learned that's not good? It just adds up and I got a lot of good information from that.
Absolutely. Always ask questions. Like, I tend to do the same thing, but I didn't necessarily do it. You know, I'm 33 now, so I'm just old, and you're very young. And when I was your age, I was an athlete. I was super busy skating. Well, I definitely wasn't in your mindset back then. And it's where you should be at your age. Always asking questions, learning from people who are smarter than you, always seeking knowledge in some way, reading a ton, all of these things. I definitely didn't do that when I was young. And it's okay. Like, I have to make up for it when I'm older. But you have, like, time is your friend. So you dedicating time to all of this is literally going to, like I said earlier, be like the foundation of your entire life. So cool to see. And I really hope that you continue to share with other people and just share on the internet. Like, it is amazing. I mean, I don't have to explain it to you. Like, you get how the internet works and how information is shared. And that is why I recently was like, hey, you need to get a YouTube video out. Like, we should be doing videos every week. And then you're going to get to the point where you're going to be putting out like 3 a week, right? Yeah. You're gonna do that.
When sports are over with school, I can start to do that.
I like it. What sports are you in?
So I do cross country and track.
Oh, that's right. I saw a tweet about that.
I've been really getting into going to the gym and weightlifting. For about the past month, I got into that. And I love it. It's a good way to clear your head at the end of the day.
Thing.
It's a good way to relieve any stress you might have and get you feeling great afterwards.
Yeah, and then you talk about inflation in the sauna. Are you kidding? It's the best. But it's just like me. Like, I find myself, whether I'm at the gym or like literally the grocery store or wherever, I'm talking about Bitcoin or something related to it. It's kind of just once you go down into the rabbit hole, it's like you can't get yourself out, right?
You can't get people off of it. You want to tell everybody, whether it be your neighbor, someone at school, your grandparents, anyone.
Mm-hmm. So on that topic, how do your parents feel about this? Are they Bitcoiners? Do they understand it? What's that whole thing like? Do they think that are on to something? Like, what are their thoughts on this? I'd love to hear.
So my dad, who's the one who introduced me to stocks and investing, ever since I fell down the rabbit hole, no matter where I am at dinner, basically any time, I'm thinking about Bitcoin. School, I'm thinking about it. Gym, I think about it all the time. So I talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
And so my dad, he sees how it can be kind of more leading towards the future. Now, he's not as far down the rabbit hole as I am, but he's kind of like, hey, I see how this can be the future. If my son's doing this and he's telling me how good it's going to be, might as well just buy a little bit. And so he's gotten down the rabbit hole, and he's a pastor. And last week he mentioned Bitcoin in his sermon at church.
What?
Yeah, it was a quick reference. But
wow. Okay. You're rubbing off on him. Hey, quick question. Is your dad around right now?
He's not. He is on
well,
a
I was gonna say, you should,
trip.
Should we try to orange pill him right now for everyone?
Yeah, he's not over.
He's like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to go on your show. But wow, that's incredible. So it's interesting to hear that he's not fully orange pilled, right? How about your mom? Is she there?
Yeah, I'd say he's very convinced. I'd say he just has like, is this truly going to keep going? He's like, okay, I'll listen to what you say on this.
That
but
is so
I'll
funny.
Just see in time. And then my mom, she's starting to see it, but she's not as big on investing as we are. So it's kind of like, I don't talk about it as much with her as I do with my dad, just because it's just been something she's not really been into. But she has really seen, like, we got talking about inflation. And so I was like, yeah, so the dollar's going down in value. And she's like, well, that's not good. You can't buy as much when stuff costs more. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's the point. I said, that's why Bitcoin's so important. She goes, Bitcoin doesn't do that. I explained how with Bitcoin, it holds its value. And so they both think it's good. I'd say my dad a little bit more, just because he's more into investing.
Yeah.
But she's not against it by any means.
Wow, that's super cool. I mean, it's awesome that you're having these conversations with your family regularly, and it's only a matter of time before your dad comes around, you know? But
Yeah.
and also, like, you could always start framing Bitcoin a different way, right? Because it's not just an investment. It is hope for 8 billion people. It's going to give the unbanked access to banking, and there's billions of people who have no access, right? It gives people in America, like, for instance, the number was like 2.7 million people will be able to send, or Salvadorans in America can send money to El Salvador for $0, so no remittance fees. That never existed
That's
before,
great.
so it's incredible, like, the access that we will have with Bitcoin. And there are, I mean, there's a long list of why it's more than just another asset class.
And that's another thing that was appealing to me about it, how it levels the playing field. Because when I really got into stocks, I still kind of was into investing, and I was looking up investing on YouTube and relating to that. And I heard about accredited investors, and I was like, man, this is awesome. But they kind of have like an edge on the competition. And most accredited investors are already wealthy before they're accredited investors. So accredited investors who can invest in pre-IPO stocks, they kind of just have a game where they can make money more easy. Now it is more risky, but they can make money on venture funds faster than the stock market, but they're already wealthy. So the way I see it should be a level playing field, and that's what Bitcoin gives you. So I'm 16, people might be 45, and we have the same playing field to play on.
Instead, like, we deal with a corrupt financial system where, you need to have money to get involved, or you need to know the right person, or fill the pockets of someone, or whatever. It's so political. It's all about who you know. It's the big boys club. And it's antiquated, and Bitcoin is the revolution. It's so cool that you're into it, and I think you know more about investing than like 95% of the people on the planet.
The tech, I don't know if I put it that far, but it's become a good and a bad thing.
Oh,
It's
why is
like
that?
that thing said in philosophy, like your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness. So
I like that.
if you're good at making money or investing, it's a great thing. It pays off financially, it can better your family, better your generational family. But also it can make you focus on it in everything you do. So like if I'm doing homework, it can take a lot from me not to just go and be on Bitcoin Twitter or read a Bitcoin book opposed to
I
a school
totally
book
get
that I
it.
have to read. And
You
so which isn't a bad thing, but you just got to have good time management when you have obligations like that.
Absolutely. It's all about time management. I literally go through the same struggle that you do. I mean, I have a job that I have to do every day. I work for Compass Mining. So I am obligated to focus on Compass. I can't focus on, my Bitcoin books or listening to Bitcoin podcasts all day or whatever it may be. So it really is time management. And but that will set you up for success because time management is necessary in every other aspect of life. So it's good practice for you. And it's incredible that there's like way worse things you could be doing with your time as a young individual. I'm sure you see that. I mean, do you see that with your peer group? Like, what do your are your friends home every day on Bitcoin Twitter, like, planning their next YouTube video about how they're going to share this revolution with the world? Or are they out wasting time and doing nothing? I don't know. What's that like?
I'd say it depends on the people. I'm not gonna I'd say the people that I really surround myself with aren't really wasting a lot of their time. They're doing productive things. Like everyone has time off, but they're not always doing that. And I've got a lot of friends that they're trying to better themselves and make money.
That's
Might
amazing.
not be as orange pilled as I am in the Bitcoin space, but might be like reselling stuff or
Nice.
stuff like that. And so I was
Amazing.
like, me and one of my friends, we're starting an NFT right now.
Oh.
And we're launching that in like an NFT collection probably in the next few weeks.
What's that about? Tell me about it. I don't really do the NFT thing, but I appreciate creative work and art and all of that. So I would love to hear about it.
Yeah, so basically it's just going to be an NFT collection. It's going to be called the Meta Dragons. So there's already a Twitter page, believe it or not, that I set up today.
Cool. You need and to send that to me.
I will. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And what it's going to be is it's going to be like there's going to be an initial drop. And we're going to drop the NFTs. And then after that, they're going to go on exchanges like OpenSea.
Wow.
Where then people can, after it's on OpenSea, people can buy and resell them. And if you create them and put them on OpenSea, you get a kind of return on that investment every time one of them has transacted. So not only will we make money on the initial launch with how many we're selling, but then we'll make initial money every time one is sold.
So I don't even understand. I haven't spent any time on OpenSea. I'm very new to that world. How is your work marketed on there?
So it's, I think of a good analogy for this. It's kind of like you have sports cards. I don't know if you did anything with sports cards or trading cards.
I used to play Magic the Gathering. I don't even know if you know that game.
I've never heard of that.
Oh my gosh. I'm old. I will send you some info on Magic. A lot of the Bitcoiners, like in my age group, a lot of them played.
Perfect. I'll have to look into it. So yeah. We'll take Pokemon. Everyone knows Pokemon.
Sure.
So if there's a whole spread of Pokemon cards and you have a Pokemon card, you own that Pokemon card, but you may not have proof if your friends tell their friend that you own that Pokemon card. Okay. They may think you own it, but they don't have proof. Well, with the NFTs, you own the right to it, and anyone can see if you own that Pokemon card. So you have a collection of it, and it's set up I do mine through something called MetaMask, which is a decentralized Ethereum wallet extension that you can put on your browser, Chrome, any browser like that.
Okay.
And then your MetaMask holds all of your NFTs. And so your MetaMask is directly connected to your OpenSea account. And your MetaMask is connected to an NFT drop if you go for buying them off the drop.
Okay.
And so when you buy it off of the drop from a website, it then gets put into your OpenSea wallet, which is like an art room that has a bunch of art in it, but wow, they're NFTs.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like being orange pilled. You got to really fall into it. It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
But I think NFTs are the future. I think rare Pepes are going to come and be the future too.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. I've been following the conversation a little bit. And I have opened my mind to some of these other projects out there more so than like when I initially got into Bitcoin, I was like Bitcoin only, hardcore, like nothing else. Mm-hmm. And sure, I believe that that's the way. And I only hold Bitcoin. But that's not to say that these other projects won't continue to exist forever. And I think they will. And I think it's cool that the Rare Pepe is built on Bitcoin. So that's special.
That's why I think Rare Pepes are so cool, just because of that. And it's one of the first like NFT projects based on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so valuable.
Did you watch the documentary on the origin of Pepe?
Feels Good, Man.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I haven't seen it yet. I have it in a list of things. Is it good?
Dude, it's I've so seen good. The trailer I was like for emotional.
It. Really?
Pepe is very important to me because I had no idea that it kind of had this like really intense story behind it. Just watch it and then we should chat about it. Let me know what you think. It's incredible.
All right, I'll have to watch it.
Cool.
Didn't it come out like last year or something? Feels Good,
Man. I don't know. I have no idea. I watched it kind of recently and I was like, holy shit, you know? So yeah, definitely. Let me know what you think when you watch it.
I've seen the trailer a few times, and it looks pretty good. How there's more of a story than just a meme.
Yeah, I have a feeling that you will have like a new appreciation for Pepe and just like that world in general once you watch it. Because I know I did, and I'm not even into
NFTs or rare Pepes or owning them.
Yeah, but it really opened my eyes up to it.
Now I think there is something to be said for like Bitcoin maximalists who like their only Bitcoin, and I'd say in a way I have a strong feel like edge to that. Like I'm mainly just only Bitcoin. Like I don't really want many other coins. I don't think they're the future or anything like that. But with the way I see it is I'll do most anything I can to get more Bitcoin. So if I have to expose myself to Ethereum and NFTs in order to make money to get more Bitcoin, I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at some point you have to remember that the goal is to get as much Bitcoin as you can. And the only way to do that is to find ways to make money. That's how you have to fiat mine, right? As much as you can. So do you work while you're a student, or are you just full-time student?
So during the summer, I worked in I'd say with investing, it's been nice because I've been able to get to a point with investing where I don't necessarily have to work during the week, during school, so I can focus more on school and going to the gym, homework. Dude, so it's been
that's badass. I mean, that is ideal, right? Like, the most important thing you can do right now is bust your ass at school, get in the best shape of your life so you can perform well in your sports, and then study with all the rest of your time, because that's what's going to set you up for success. And I think you're already on that path right now.
Yes. So I'm just trying to follow along with that and keep going on that path and have a few goals to hit before 25. So think if I just keep up going like this.
What are some of those goals?
I think one would be starting a company related to the blockchain system. Not necessarily Bitcoin, but it could be Bitcoin. But I think the blockchain system is bigger than people think it is. And I think most all big companies in the next 15 years will have to adapt to it and use it in some way.
Yeah, I believe it. That's like, it's incredible. I mean, I am like you. I just think Bitcoin is going to take over the world. And it's fascinating to know that when sometimes I talk to boomers or other people who are non-Bitcoiners, and they just look at me like I'm crazy.
They don't get it.
Yeah, they don't get it. And it's hard because I'm so like involved in the Bitcoin community, and I just talk Bitcoin all day and listen to incredibly knowledgeable Bitcoiners like all day long. So when I am not in that world, it's just like bizarre to me. It's like I forget that this exists outside of our little internet like community.
I can get so carried away sometimes. The same, like, I'll just go out thinking everyone sees the value in Bitcoin,
and then you're like, and then that's only the internet. I'm not on the internet anymore. I'm in the real world. And it's like people are just, I think it's going to come, it is coming around, right? Like it's coming around to the average person is hearing about it, but I would say the average person doesn't know why it exists or, you know, what
the value it really holds, not just $61,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah, but totally. And maybe, you know, when I first got in, I saw it as like it hit me from a philosophical standpoint. It was like, wow, it changed my life, and it made me question every choice I was making. And
exact same thing for me.
Yeah, so I was, you know, making poor choices, and Bitcoin came in and just like kind of stripped me from like my previous thinking and like reloaded all of these new ideas into my head. And then Bitcoin became the center of my life, and just naturally I started becoming a better person because of it. Unlimited spending on Amazon. Why do I have to live like this? So I had to cut. Why are we such consumers? You know, we fall into these traps, and Bitcoin changes all of
it
that.
It puts everything into perspective.
Yeah, it does.
It makes you wonder, do I really need this? Like two years before I got into Bitcoin, I bought these like $300 shoes.
Oh wow.
I did not look good in them. They're called Nike Foamposites. They're massive.
Jeez.
And I paid $300 for them, and they were gold, believe it or not.
Really?
And I wore them maybe 15 times because I just didn't want to get them messed up or anything. Then I ended up giving them to this like Christmas drive, and just
wow.
I found more joy in getting rid of them than keeping them then. And then about a year later, I came across Bitcoin and started to sell most anything I could, basically, to get Bitcoin. I sold a chair at a yard sale, so I sold my chairs for Bitcoin.
I love it. Yeah, I actually had started, it's crazy to think, I started selling designer things, but I didn't buy Bitcoin with it. It was before Bitcoin took over my mind, and I'm like kicking myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. You know what? You can't go back in time. So I got in when I was supposed to get in, which was March of this year. And I genuinely believe that I'm still super early. At first, I thought
I was only
late.
March of this year? And you've...
Yeah.
You're... Wow.
Did you get... So you got into Bitcoin way before me.
I got into Bitcoin March 2020. Yeah, 2020. So about
COVID.
A year before you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool.
It was at like 6,000, I think.
I should have gotten in at a way lower number, but that's okay. It just is what it is. And you roll
live
with
and
it,
learn.
Right? You live and learn. So a really important topic we need to discuss, Mr. David, is scammers on the internet.
Yes.
And we need to discuss this because you happen to get scammed by someone on the internet who was posing as me. And it was not
yes.
me, unfortunately. And by the way, it kills me so much that I received this message from you. Like, I feel so bad.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. But share.
Yeah.
Can you just share your experience so other people understand how dangerous the internet is and to never give away your money or Bitcoin to anyone asking for it on the internet?
Yeah. So I got approached from Telegram that this was your account, and it was identical to your Twitter. Everything was the same. And I figured, oh, this is Telegram. It would take a lot to create another account. It had your name as the username. So I looked into that, and I was like, okay. Then I started messaging it, and I we scheduled a podcast on there. So
what?
I was like, so when you, and yeah, and I was like, this is getting a little strange, but that was after the fact. But they told me that what I do on a daily basis is trade Bitcoin, and I do it for people, and I've been doing it for institutions. So I was like, wow, this is professional. They sent me screenshots of people that have made like $12 million with them. They've taken $10,000 to $100,000. And so they helped me get on this platform called alphacloudfx.com. And it looks like a legitimate website. And I transferred a little bit over $100 to it. And it basically trades the Bitcoin for you, which is great. It's great. And when you try to withdraw it, it says you need to upgrade your account. Well, the lowest upgrade you can do is $2,000.
Oh,
and so they want you to send more money. So I just didn't upgrade it at all, and the money's just sitting in the account. I'm still trying to pull it out of there, but
well, wait a second. You think that you can get your money back?
I'm trying everything I can. I'm telling them that. I've told them that I just need to take it out. I told them I'll give them half the money. Because I know they're scammers. They're not
right.
bots. They're real people that would take money. So I'm kind of.
So,
if they're going to scam me, I'm going to get my money back in one way or the other, or hope I will. So, but
geez,
yeah, you got to watch out.
I wonder, let me, I might, I might reach out to someone who might have an answer to this. So give me a second, like, and I'll do that.
All right.
And just see if they have any insight for you. Well, okay. Yeah, so for everyone out there in the universe, please do not make this mistake that David
Jamie
made.
Jamie does not have Telegram.
No, I do have Telegram.
Oh, you have Telegram?
I have Telegram, but the account okay. they made is fake.
But let me tell you the username and tell me how
far off it
is. Yeah, but
you're probably looking at the wrong place on there. Which
the
is
at?
Yeah, I mean, well, screenshot it later and show me.
Yeah, I'll send it to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, okay, cool. We'll figure that part out. But yeah, I have
no one
seen...
send Jamie any sort of money or
don't
sign up for
her
exchange.
Don't send me your money, people. I mean, jeez. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I get like 20 messages a day, whether it's Twitter or Instagram in my DMs about, hey, you have another scammer, an imposter, da, 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 da. And I'm like, guys, I can't keep responding to all of you people. It's not just me. They do it to anyone who has like any sort of like a follower account in the crypto or Bitcoin world, because it's just, I guess it works. I mean, clearly.
Well, some of them are smart, but like on Twitter and Instagram, they're not super smart.
Yeah, like, they're like, how is your trade going? Like, we all know, we all get the freaking joke, y'all.
You followed me again today.
Oh, God,
and
did I?
You lost, like, 15,800 followers. And so I was like, I screenshotted it, and I was like, yeah, this scammer must not have even looked that I follow you.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
Anthony Pompliano, with, like, 18 underscores, followed me on Instagram.
You just like, gotta block them all. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, this is just messed up. And it's sad to think that some kids out there can make thousands of dollars trading an asset on the internet, but then there's 30-year-olds that are just
scamming
people all
the
over
same
the
kids or whatever, or, you know, impressionable individuals.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that would be a really cool YouTube video for you.
That's a good idea.
You, literally, like, how... scammers are making money in through Bitcoin or whatever. I can help you with a YouTube title, but you should just go on and do a video and share with the world like why people need to be careful. Like, guys, watch out, because they are after you. Do you have,
and truthfully, the successful people in the Bitcoin space don't really care about your Bitcoin money, so they're not going to ask you for it.
Yeah, no, but it's these like anon accounts that are just out there lurking.
And they make it seem very truthful that this is a real platform.
Very
you can
sad.
Make money. I've made money, stuff like that. But it's not true.
It is indeed not true. Okay, so tell me what your plans are for YouTube and content creating. I know I've been kind of like giving you a little shit for that, but is that something that you want to do? Like, do you want to share with the world? Because I think that you have a lot to say, and young people could learn a ton from you.
Yeah, I've really been, especially recently, contemplating doing a podcast.
That would be
where
so
I do it, like,
cool.
Bitcoin from the perspective of someone who's like growing up through the financial, like,
absolutely.
When you can, it's kind of odd buying Bitcoin when you can't legally set up a bank account, when you can't legally buy alcohol, but
I
you're
love this
buying
idea.
Yeah. So it's like, you're walking through the journey of getting into finances.
Okay. So can I ask you
Bitcoin.
Something?
Hmm?
It's a very personal question, David. Why are you contemplating this?
What am I contemplating doing the podcast?
Yeah. Why is it even a question? Why would you not do it?
I guess I'm thinking about time. Like, is there something I could be researching in the Bitcoin space, maybe trying to start that company or something? But I guess you can always learn more through the podcast and doing research for the podcast.
So David, you don't worry about any of that. Like, you're just going to psych yourself out the more you do that. So the greatest thing about it is that with the podcast, that is your learning journey, which is so cool. I thought the same thing for me. I love talking to people and love sharing with the world. And what better way to do that than start a freaking podcast? I am not a damn Bitcoin expert, never have claimed to be one. But guess what? You don't need to be one. But what you need to do is have conviction, take action, and just run with it. Period. No contemplating. I wouldn't have gotten anything done. I would have never even started this damn thing if I sat there in my mind, because trust me, I have every reason to not do it. Like, with all of these, you know, people talking shit about me, people judging me, people, you know, underestimating my ability, whatever it may be. I threw all of those ideas out and I was like, screw it. And what's cool mm-hmm. about you is you're so young, so you could start this podcast now and see, like, watch over the years, watch yourself grow. And also, it's not even just about that. Like, imagine the lives you will affect. Like, you will provide a platform for other young individuals to learn with you about the most important technological revolution humanity has ever seen. Mm-hmm. And you will, like, significantly alter people's lives because of it. So I have all these great ideas. Like, these are great ideas. But the only way to truly know if they will work,
if it works,
is to do it. Otherwise, you don't know, right? You have to test them. And
go out there and do it.
Just test them. But I think it would be incredible for you to do TikTok, because it's definitely your age group. And I can imagine there aren't many guys like you who are into Bitcoin and talking about investing. So getting in early would be mm-hmm. incredible for you. And then number two, YouTube could be an easy, like a 3-minute video. Like, here's, you know, 5 reasons why you should consider Bitcoin mm-hmm. if you're under the age of 18 or whatever it may be, right? That could be so easy.
The algorithm of what I found with the internet most recently is that teens, they're losing their attention span so easily with TikTok, because it may be 15 or 30 seconds and then you're done with it.
It's crazy.
So if you have like a full 2-hour video on YouTube, they might not want to watch it. And that's why I think Pomp, he breaks down his live streams into like 8-minute segments, or like, this is what you can focus on for each time.
Yeah.
And so I think with TikTok, it just allows people to see it real fast, learn, and then they'll come back for more if they want to learn about it.
And then you can also, like, move, you know, you can convert that traffic to other platforms. So, mm-hmm. so YouTube, you could put out a 2 or 3 minute video, and then TikTok, you can do your own, you can have your own strategy. And then Twitter, you have your own strategy. I mean, the sky is the limit, right?
And Spotify too. It's free to put up a podcast on Spotify.
Dude, I put mine on Anchor, and I just, I don't have any training, and I did all of this by myself. And you have all these amazing teachers around you who will answer any of your questions. You could literally text or call me.
Believe it or not, I've got a really good friend who's good at, like, cinematography.
Sick. And
I'd say he's almost like a professional. So on that, like, tech videos, you'll see the camera quality is really good.
Cool.
So I've reached out to him, and he's like, I can help you with, like, finding a good mic. And so I found, like, good mics that I'll order, like, webcams that I can set up where I can get, like, an actual good camera and connect it to my computer.
So
I have all the resources I really need.
Yeah. So what's the name of your podcast going to be?
I don't know yet. That's the other thing I'm trying to figure out is,
did you write a bunch down yet?
I haven't yet.
Okay. Are you going to do that today?
I don't know about today. I'll have to do that.
Do you have plans tonight, David? You got a hot date?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to narrow all of them down.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I forgot you're Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah.
That's who you are. Like, that's every time I look at like a tweet from you, it's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah. I've thought about just changing my username to that.
You totally should. Well, I have my rapid fire questions I want to give you, but before that, I do have one last question. So how do you think Bitcoin could help future generations?
I think there's multiple ways, and mm-hmm. I could go on this question for hours, but mainly just because it's deflationary. I think one of the best ways it will help people, and this is one other thing I've looked into trying to do, is for when we can find out how we can use Bitcoin to help third world countries get out of their poverty.
Yeah.
And once they could do that, it would save them from wars. It would save them. It would help them be able to get food to most people. And it just comes down to how will the people in that area have access to it. And I think mm-hmm. El Salvador kind of struggled with this and is struggling with it. how do we get Bitcoin to the part of our like country where it's not accessible, like where people don't have computers, food, water. So I think when Bitcoin is able to be handed out to people that are in third world countries, I think that's when Bitcoin will serve, in my opinion, the best purpose that we could have Bitcoin for, which is saving the world from financial like debt and basically bettering the whole world. And I think Bitcoin's just the deflationary aspect is its biggest contributor to that.
Yeah, I love that. And wouldn't you say that we're kind of like, we've already started that process because now we can send Bitcoin. So now Bitcoin can be transferred globally mm-hmm. with no remittance fees. So like that's a step yep. in that direction because now we can send it without having to like spend a ton of money. Whereas before with Western Union, people are spending, you know, if they want to spend $500, they're spending $200.
Can't stand what banks do.
It's terrible.
It's awful. They're saying they're trying to help the average person and they want to make it easy for people. But in reality, they just want money for themselves. They just want to make themselves
so corrupt,
richer in what they do, which it's most people want to make more money, but how they're going about it, I don't think it's the right thing. Same with, and not to get too political, but same with mm-hmm. like the whole printing money thing. You have all these people going on TV saying we're doing this for the betterment of humanity and we're doing this for all that. But in reality, they're making the lower class and the middle class, they're making them struggle from printing so much money and causing inflation. And they're making money off of it because most mm-hmm. of them are not and in keeping the lower their jobs. Middle class.
Yeah.
And they have assets and they're getting paid. Even if they're wrong about the printing money, they're getting paid to tell people that you're going to be okay. We're just going to print more money. And then they have their money and assets so they can make tons of money off of inflation. And I've benefited from inflation myself just through having Bitcoin, but it's awful. I hate to see how it's affecting people and people that are clueless, because most of the lower middle class, they don't know. They think, oh, gas prices, they're just going up. Oh, that's, they'll go back down. Don't get your hopes up too much.
They're
probably not going to be going down that much. Same with like car parts. Like, let's just take an Escalade. I'm a big car guy. I love cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so an Escalade was like $100,000 2 years ago, which mm-hmm. it's a lot of money for a car. But with the supply chain disruption from the virus and everyone being shut down, they're worth like $150,000 if you're lucky, maybe $180,000 for a new Escalade. Just, and they say the retail's $100,000, but it's really $150,000. And that's the supply chain's never going to catch up to a point like where it's going to drop the prices because... 50,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now we're having all sorts of supply chain issues. And
so I think just the deflationary aspect about Bitcoin will impact the world one day. And I hope that day is sooner than later. And if you think about it, I'm big into space too. I think we should try and colonize Mars. And I think
so you're an cool. Elon fan, huh?
I'm an Elon fan on certain stuff. I don't like what he did with Bitcoin, but I think he's one of the best innovators we've ever seen. I think that when we go to space, it's obvious we're not going to take paper money to space. That would just, it's not practical. We couldn't take paper money to space. But we're going to take Bitcoin. Or if they were to create another cryptocurrency that they wanted to use, we'd have to use the blockchain system in some form. Which goes back to why I think the blockchain system's bigger than anyone.
I'm very much there with you. I like where your head's at, dude. It's really cool.
Then my Pit Vipers.
It's because of the Pit Vipers, for sure. It's just like, it like warps your mind into like the future.
You can't walk down the street with these on.
You can't?
Too dangerous.
It's just too much,
everyone's
right?
coming at you. Everyone's coming at you.
They don't want a piece of you.
Exactly.
So would you recommend young individuals, like let's say people under 18, do you recommend they buy Bitcoin?
Under 18, that's another big thing. It comes down to a point where some kids, they're able to convince their parents, hey, can I use your information? because a kid can't buy Bitcoin without their parents' like social security number, because you have to be 18, which I think is messed up. But it comes down to a point, or if your parents are okay with it and they let you manage it, I'd say by all means.
Yeah, I would
use that to your advantage. But if they're not, work hard. Do other things until you're 18.
There you go.
Get a bunch of money. Put it into Bitcoin. Don't worry about the
price
now.
There you go.
That's good advice. It's going to go to $5 million in the next 10 years. So might as well buy some.
I think the same thing. We're on the same wavelength here. I love it.
You should
pick up. Yeah, I need to get some because then we can like really be on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
So before we finish, David, I have three rapid questions I want to give you. You're ready? Nothing to be scared
of. I'm ready.
So the first question is, if you could describe Bitcoin in one word, what would it be?
That's a good one. Was not expecting that as a rapid fire question. I'd say deflationary.
Okay. Perfect.
That's my one word.
I love it. And
it describes
the second...
what it is. It describes why it's good.
Yeah. No, it's great. And the second one is, if you could share a phrase or just one thing about Bitcoin to someone or anyone, what would it be?
Bitcoin will change your life in multiple different ways.
Perfect. Mine was initially when I thought of these, mine was, you need to buy Bitcoin right now. Okay. So
sell anything you have, buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, literally just buy it. Don't ask questions. So the third one is, if you were stranded on an island and you could only have one thing, object, what would that be?
Ooh, is the island in like a tropical area where it's nice and hot, or do I need a jacket?
I'm thinking hot, yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking islandy.
The one thing I'd get is a nice boat with a bunch of fuel.
Okay.
Then I can get off the island.
There you go. I like where your head is at. All right. It was amazing having you on today and getting to know you and learn about you and your passion for Bitcoin. And I think it's super cool that you're only 16 and you've spent a lot of time here. So thank you for sharing all of that. And thanks for hanging out today.
Well, thank you for having me. Before we go, I do have one rapid fire question for you.
Please.
But I was going to tweet at you, but I figured might as well ask now.
Okay.
I'm going to get very serious pit vipers.
Okay.
How long would it take you to teach me how to skate on ice?
You know, it sounds like you're quite the athlete. So
I
actually think that we could do it in a few days.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about teaching you how to skate like me?
No. I can't do that. I couldn't jump and all that. I won't have to like hold on to something when I'm on ice. I don't fall down.
Actually, I believe in one session you would be skating on your own, because that's typically how it works. Like if someone is not too scared, if they're coordinated and athletic, it's fine. The first day. So I say one day. But if you're trying to get fancy, we need 3 days.
Okay. We'll have to set this up so I can learn how to skate.
Let's set it up. Let's film it. It will be really fun. Bitcoin on skates. Bitcoin on ice. I like it. All right, David, you have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. You got to send me some links, okay?
I will. Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.